Okay. Yeah. Run, right? Yeah. Okay. Fine. So today we're going to Mitzvah Shem be starting our next malacha, which is the malacha of Kotzer. Kotzer is another 2-day job, so Mitzvah Shem will finish it on Monday. So let's start from the beginning. Kotzer is our third malacha in the Siddur of the Pas. If you want to make bread, so you plow and you plant, and then you cut the you have to cut down the wheat stalks in order to further processing the bread. So that activity of cutting down the wheat stalk becomes our next av malacha. So that's the av malacha of Kotzer. Now the Gemara on Ayin Gimel Beis points out to us that it's not limited to cutting wheat stalks. Any type of vegetation that you cut down, olives, grapes, figs, they're all subject to malachas Kotzer. Once again, we have the same machlokas Miri and Rambam about what's the av malacha, but we're not going to even reference that now beyond just making that statement, because we already know that machlokas. So the av malacha is that machlokas. But what we're going to be focusing on is the issue of the productive quality. We had a break with malachas araya, but back to malachas kotzer, we're going to have to roll up our sleeves and figure out how to define the productive quality of this malacha that always governs where all the malachas apply. So we have to do an analysis of the yesod of malachas kotzer. And we're going to see that the actual developing the actual definition is not so difficult, but it's the ramifications of that definition which are going to have some complications. So it begins with the Gemara on Daf Kuf Zayin on the base to Kuf Ches Siman Aleph. The Gemara there lists us some of the toldas of malachas kotzer, different forms of cutting vegetation, and it gives us the key catchphrase for malachas kotzer, our starting productive quality of malachas kotzer, which is Oker Davar Migidula. That malachas kotzer is literally uprooting something from its source of growth. That's the basic definition of malachas kotzer. Oker davar migidulo, that's the basic productive quality of kotzer. Now, there's a little bit of a discussion in the Achronim how to give the precise definition to what it means to be oker davar migidulo. I'm going to set down a definition which I think is absolutely muchrach from the various Lashonos in the Rishonim. I don't really see another side, but there is a little bit of a discussion in the Achronim on this issue. If you look at the Lashonos of the Rishonim, just from the Mar Makomos, the Rishonim all over the place, so there are two key phrases, there are two key terms that you find throughout in reference to Malachas Kotzer. The two key terms are Mechuber and Talish. Kotzer applies when you're cutting something that's Mechuber, and it doesn't apply once it becomes Talish. So I think it's absolutely muchach from these Lashonos and the Rishonim that the real definition of Kotzer means to disconnect something from its source of growth. That's the actual definition of kotzer, to disconnect that which was attached, you're disconnecting it from its source of growth. Something that was mechubar, you're making it tullish, you're disconnecting. I think it's absolutely compelling from the Lashonos of the Rishonim. Now, I want to now show a halachic nafkamino with this definition. What's the importance? Who cares if you call it uprooting, if you call it disconnecting, okur davar migidulo, what's the importance of a precise definition? So I'm going to now illustrate that it's quite important from the Gemara in Daf Tzadi Hei Amud Aleph. There's a halachic naf kamino that comes out of this definition. The Gemara there on Daf Tzadi Hei Amud Aleph brings a braisa, which brings Rabbi Eliezer, who says that there's an iser deraisa on Shabbos to milk a cow. Cholev is chayev on Shabbos. Which malacha do you violate when you milk a cow on Shabbos? So the Gemara tells us which malacha is violated, but it's not clear what the Gemara means. The Gemara says that you violate mefarik, that milking a cow is also deraisa for violating mefarik. The question is, what is mefarik? So there's a big discussion in the Rishonim to figure out which malach is violated in this situation, but we're going to focus in now on one specific suggestion of Rashi. Rashi there on Sarihei suggests that maybe mefarik means kotzer, that maybe the issue with milking a cow is that you're being oker davar migidulo. The milk developed in the udder. When I milk the cow, I'm removing the milk from the place that it developed. Let's call that oker davar migidulo. I'm uprooting it. I'm removing it from the place of its development. Rashi suggests that. So Rashi rejects that and says that cannot be the malacha violated in this situation. Mefarik, milking a cow, does not violate kotzer. Why doesn't it violate kotzer? Because of the definition that we set down. We pointed out the exact definition of kotzer is to disconnect something from its source of growth. That's the definition of kotzer. In this situation, although the milk is in the udder, developed in the udder, it's not connected to the udder. It's not mechubar to the udder. When I remove the milk, I'm not disconnecting it from the udder. Therefore, this does not fit under the malacha of kotzer. So that's just the halachic application of our definition. We're being very precise. It's about disconnecting something from its source of growth. When the milk's in the udder, you are removing it from its source of development. You've not disconnected it from its source of growth, and therefore that's not going to be subject to malachas kotzer. Okay, fine. Now we come to the real issue, which is the real subject for today, and that is like this. Now that we have our definition of kotzer, which is disconnecting, the question becomes, what establishes a connection? What makes something deemed connected to its source of growth such that severing that connection will be subject to malachas kotzer? Now, right now, it seems like a very abstract question. Yeah. When I have a wheat stalk on the ground, it's connected to the ground. You know, what more is there to it? But we're going to see now that it's going to be actually pretty sophisticated. What exactly establishes a connection such that severing that connection will be subject to malachas kotzer? So that's the real agenda for today. So in order to analyze this issue, we need to move over to a Gemara on Daf Pei Aleph Amud Beis. We're going to learn up the Gemara with Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rambam. We're going to have two basic shitos on this issue. So let's start with the Gemara. The Gemara there brings Abaye, who tells us the following din. Let's say you have an Atzitz Nakov. An Atzitz Nakov is one of our famous halachic entities throughout Shas, the perforated flower pot. The Halakha Atzitz Nakov is used many places in Shas. It's going to come up many times in Gittin next year, actually. It's a perforated flower pot. And the significance of the Atzitz Nakov is that when it's resting on the ground, when you have this flower pot on the ground with perforations, it's considered to be connected to the ground. That's the halacha, that an Atzitz Nakov resting on the ground is considered to be connected to the ground. And as we know, in many areas of halacha, we make distinctions between things that are mechuber l'karka and things that are not mechuber l'karka. And so that's why the Atzitz Nakov gets a big highlight in Shas, where when we try to emphasize the difference between being attached and not being attached, so we use the Atzitz Nakov a lot of times to illustrate various halachas. So this is one of the examples where we're going to get into it, and it's going to come up in the first paragraph of Gittin next year. Our Tosfos, the rest of the Tosfos from the Marmon Komos, references the Sugya and Gittin, so next year guys should be getting into it more in depth. We're going to do the Shabbos aspect of the Sugya right now. So Baye tells us the following day. Let's say you have this perforated flower pot that is lying on the ground, and you put it onto pegs on Shabbos. You pick up this Atzitz Nakov, you put it onto pegs on Shabbos, says Avaye, this is going to violate the malacha of Tolish. Tolish is a form of malachas kotzer. You're going to violate malachas kotzer when you put the flower pot onto the pegs. Why does this violate malachas kotzer? Well, because, as we pointed out, when the Atzitz Nakov is resting on the ground, it's considered to be attached to the ground. When I lift it off the ground and put it onto the pegs, I'm ostensibly disconnecting it from the ground. Since I'm disconnecting it from the ground, says Oker Davar Migidulo, that would fit under the Malacha of Kotzer. That is the Halacha of Avaye in this Gemara, Andav Pei Aleph. However, we have a Chalukas Rishonim had to understand what exactly Abaye meant to say. When Abaye said that there's this Chiyuv, that there's an Isser to pick up this Atzitz Nakov, how severe is this Chiyuv? What's the nature of this Chiyuv to pick up the Atzitz Nakov on Shabbos? So we have two basic Shitos in the Rishonim, the Shita of Rashi and Tosfos versus the Rambam. Two basic approaches. There's a Reb Chaim Alashatz on the Rambam. I respectfully need to ask Mechila Gemura from the Reb Shmulevitz guys. I know Stam Reb Chaim means Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, but but Reb Chaim Alashatz, it's too hard to say Reb Chaim Brisker, so I'll call it Reb Chaim Alashatz. But anyways, it's a piece from his son, Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, so we're good anyways. Okay, so let's start with the Shita of Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi and Tosfos there will say that although Abaye says that you're chayiv when you pick up the Atzitz Nakov and put it onto the pegs, it's actually lav dafka. It doesn't mean chayiv mida oraiso, that's a full-fledged violation of kotzer. He just means it's aser mida rabbanan. Tosa says chayiv means you're chayiv makos mardis, the special set of malkas you get for violating the rabbanan. That's what you are chayiv for in this case. But you're not actually really violating kotzer on a deraiso level. Why do Rashi and Tosfos lav dafka the Gemara? What's the impetus to water down Abaye's statement? So they both bring a raya from a previous Gemara there on Pei Aleph Amud Beis, which is the din of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish tells us the following din. Let's say a person relieves himself outdoors, and he needs to clean himself. So what he wants to do is he wants to use a rock that has leaves on it to clean himself. says Reish Lakish, that's permissible. You can pick up the rock and a person can clean himself in that manner, using the leaves on the rock to clean himself. Come along Rashi and Tosfos and say as follows, that this rock with leaves on it that's resting on the ground, al pidin, is the equivalent of an atzitz nakov. An atzitz nakov resting on the ground is the equivalent of the rock with leaves on it resting on the ground. So the question becomes, how could Reish Lakish allow for me to pick this up? How can he allow a person to pick this up to clean himself when picking this up is usher to do it? Abaye just said, you're chayav for kotzer when you lift it up off the ground. How can Reish Lakish permit this? So Rashi and Tosfos say like this. If there's an iser deraisa in this situation of a full-fledged violation of kotzer, you're really okur davar migidulo, then there's no way of explaining this din of Reish Lakish. How could he permit violating an iser deraisa for, you know, for an important need? It's very important, but lamaisa there's an iser deraisa on the table. If, however, it's merely asid derabanan, if really midderaisa is perfectly, it's not okur davar migidulo. Midderabanan chazal answered it, so then we can waive an iser derabanan. And Isra Derabanan can be waived for Kavod HaBrios, and we can understand the din of Reish Lakish. So because of the fact that Reish Lakish permits violating this Isser for the sake of Kavod HaBrios, that is the Raya of Rashi and Tosfos, that Abaye's din is only an Isra Derabanan, it is not an Isser De'araisa. So that is Shita number one, Rashi and Tosfos, that what's the nature of the Chiyav to pick up the Atzitz Nakov? It is an Isra Derabanan, and it is not an Isra De'araisa. Yeah.
Rashi tries to say that if it would be Asr Deraisa, there's no way to explain the din of Reish Lakish.
Yeah.
Why can't you just say, can't you come on to the Rishin of Miskaben, Malachashin, Surah Gufa?
Well, this is Miskaben. I'm picking it up, Bikavana. Again.
I'm not picking it up because I want that.
You want this off the ground so you can use it. What?
I want to clean myself.
Yeah, but it's not so doable if it's on the, on the ground.
Say it's Malachashin, Surah Gufa. I'm not doing it for the Malach itself. I'm doing it to clean myself.
Let me ask you a question, not you, but Reuven. If Reuven rips off toilet paper, does he need it ripped off or not need it ripped off? In this case, he needs it. You know, if you don't rip the toilet paper off, it's not going to do. I mean, I guess in some societies, maybe you don't need to, but.
On Shabbos, if someone needed toilet paper and they ripped it off, not because they want.
They rip it off because it's more convenient. So here too, you're ripping it off the ground, so to speak. You're breaking it off the ground because it's not going
to
be so useful. Listen, no one wants to violate Hilchos Shabbos, you know what I'm saying? But the person intentionally is picking off the ground. The question is well taken, but we'll have to talk it out more. Nathaniel, you had a question?
Why is it not similar to Bikavana in
Brachos? What?
Shua?
Oh, what?
The mushroom. That's the normal way that it grows.
Which case?
With the mushrooms on the bucket.
Why is this not kosher? You're asking when I put it onto the pegs?
No.
I'll come back to you. You really had a question?
Rashi himself says,
No, careful. There are two issues here. One is, when a person picks up the rock and their leaves, the actual act of cleaning may break off the leaves from the rock. So that's Enam Skaven. Maybe it will happen, maybe it won't happen. That's not a Vadai. So that's that Heter. But there's a more preliminary issue. How do you pick it up off the ground? That's being done by Kavana. Picking it off of the ground is disconnecting it from the ground. That's not a
Enam. It's a Malachashin Surah Gufa.
Disconnecting what?
The leaves. I have a rocket with leaves. It's the equivalent of an atzitz nakov, so it's considered to be attached to the ground. When I pick it up off the ground, I'm disconnecting it from the ground. Why is that permissible? When the person then wipes himself, so then fine. So that's enam miskaven. Maybe the leaves will come off, maybe they won't come off. That's enam miskaven. He doesn't really want them to come off the rock necessarily. He just wants to clean himself. Okay. We're not endorsed by anybody, but I think Charmin would now, Charmin and Scott would appreciate the shear. Yeah. Go ahead. Yes, it's lifting up the rock from the ground, which separates the leaves from the ground. When the rock is resting on the ground, al pidin, it's considered attached to the ground.
So according to Rashi, the rock is the makom of the
zila. Meaning again, when I have a flower pot resting on the ground or a rock with leaves resting on the ground, al pidin is considered connected to the ground. So when I lift it up on a basic level, look, I'm breaking that connection. It should be kotzer. Says Rashi, it's only kotzer midir rabbanan. It's not really kotzer because otherwise you'd never be able to do this for kavod HaBrios. Yeah, go for it.
We know that Malachashin Surah Gufa, I'm digging a hole. I don't want the hole, I want the dirt, right?
Okay.
So what if Malachashin Surah
Gufa
is, I don't want to be ogre the thing because I want it. I need it to clean myself.
I understand what you're saying, but the person needs it off the ground to clean himself, so that would be called kavanah.
The only way to get the dirt is if I dig it out of the hole, no?
No, but in that situation, you really just want the dirt. Here, you want the rock off the ground because it's not so convenient. Otherwise, if I were I, I would just use it on the ground. Okay, fine. Okay, let's go on a little bit. We have let's just, if you don't mind. I feel bad, I can't stand on the tunnel. Go ahead.
The Gemara and Kufet.
Yeah, yeah.
The mushroom, we said that the mushroom, that's...
It's Chayiv. It's Chayiv. Rebisa, go. It's Chayiv. So now, so Bayaz.
So the rock, it's no way to grow. It's not like the plant that someone...
So you're asking why is it not kosher when I lift up off the ground?
Yeah, should we answer the right
time? Good, that's where we have to ask that question. Good. Why is it not Isidoresis? That certainly has to be asked. Okay. Our second approach is now the Shita of the Rambam. The Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, in this piece in the Reb Chaim al-Shatz, is medayik that the Rambam is arguing on Rashi and Tosfos. And it's really a very straightforward diyuk. If you look at the Rambam in Perkes Halacha Dalet, so the Rambam brings down this din of Abaye. He talks about a clod of earth with leaves growing on it, with grass growing on it. That's his Atzitz Nakov. They're all just variations on the same idea. We have this clod of earth with leaves on it, or grass on it, that's on the ground. Says the Rambam, if you lift it up and put it onto pegs, that is chayiv. That you're chayiv for picking it up the ground and lifting it onto pegs. Now, the Reb Chaim al-Shas, I'll use that interchangeably with Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, but the Grach al-Shas is a medayik from here, that the Rambam's arguing in Rashi and Tosos. Because the Rambam tells us explicitly in Shabbos, in Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, that in Shabbos lingo, the word chayiv means chayiv midaraisa. In the Mishnah Torah, when the Rambam says chayiv, chayiv means chayiv midaraisa. If the Rambam means to say it's asa derabanan, then the Rambam has to tell us that it's asa derabanan. The Rambam is not the Gemara. The Gemara is allowed to speak how it speaks, and Rishonim have a different mahalchim how to read a Gemara up. The Rambam is a halacha sefer. The Rambam is very careful with his lashonos, and he set down the terminology in the sefer. Chayiv means deraisa, pater means derabanan. If the Rambam here means it's only derabanan, the Rambam has to tell us that it's only derabanan. If the Rambam says that it's chayiv, it clearly means chayiv midoraisa. So that is the diak of the Grach HaLashas, that the Rambam is arguing in Rashi and Tosfos, there's an iser deraisa for picking up the Atzitz Nakov and putting it onto pegs. Yeah. So
it's a chiyuv lav dafka. It's asur midrabanan because it's dummy.
Good. Okay.
Would the Rambam argue and say that this dummy is chiyuv is an av and therefore it's a chiyuv?
Wait, I was just saying from another perspective. What motivated the Rambam would certainly be the pashtus to the lashon of the Gemara. The word chayim in the Gemara. We don't Rashi and Tosfos are lav dafking the Gemara. It's dummy. It's similar. I'm saying the word chayim means chayiv deraisa. So we're not going to have dafka the Gemara. It says chayiv means chayiv. That's the.
You're saying that maybe it's Rambam Mishutasa in the way that he learned
up an av. Oh, geshmak. I don't hear off the cuff, so we'll have to talk that out afterwards. Yeah, Ellie.
How is a clump of dirt comparable to a rock? So, a clump of dirt is not part of the ground.
Okay, so Max, okay, we're actually going there, right? We're gonna have to get into analysis of all this. Let me just go on a little, if you don't mind, just a little bit. Okay, fine. Now, of course, we saw the Rashi and Tosfos had brought a precedent to their shita from the din of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish had permitted picking up the equivalent of an atzitz nakov for a person to clean himself. And says Rashi and Tosfos that for an issur deraisa, we would never permit overriding an issur deraisa, even if it's a very great need. And so it must be it's an issur derabanan. So now that the Rambam is telling us that there's an issur deraisa to pick up the equivalent of an atzitz nakov, so how's the Rambam going to explain the din of Reish Lakish? Why is it permissible for the person to pick up this atzitz nakov to clean himself? That's the kasha that has to be addressed. So the Grach HaLashas is a very beautiful and simple answer to this question. He points out that the Rambam never actually brought down the din of Reish Lakish l'halacha. He never codified it in the Mishnah Berurah. You want to know why the Rambam never codified it in the Mishnah Berurah? Because they don't paskin like it. It's true, Reish Lakish himself said it then. It's permissible to pick up the equivalent of an atzitz nakov for a person for kavod habriyah's sake. And Reish Lakish clearly is not holding that there's an issur deraisa. He'll be holding that there's an issur derabanan, that there's perhaps an issur derabanan for picking this thing up, which we're waiving b'makom kavod habriyah's. Says the Grach HaLashas, Abaye is going to be arguing on Reish Lakish. When Abaye says that you're chayiv for picking up the atzitz nakov, he means to say you're chayiv deraisa Unlike Reish Lakish, although Reish Lakish thought it was an Issa Derabanan, Abaye is saying there's an Issa Deraisa. And so since the Rambam's paskening like Abaye, Rambam paskens that there's an Issa Deraisa to pick up this Atzitz Nakov, therefore the Rambam didn't bring down the Din of Reish Lakish, Lahalacha. He never codified the Din of Reish Lakish, because Lahalacha, we're not going to permit a person to pick it up for the sake of Kavod HaBrios. Since it's Issa Deraisa, we cannot waive an Issa Deraisa for Kavod HaBrios. So these are the basic facts now in our Sugya and Pei Aleph and Beis. We have the Din of Abaye, that picking up an Atzitz Nakov off the ground, putting it onto pegs, is subject to a chiyuv. You're violating Lachas Kotzer, you're breaking it off from the ground. Achlokos Yishonim, what do we mean when we say chayev? Rambam, Rashi and Tosfos are saying it only means chayev derabanan. It's only an Issa derabanan. It's not really Kotzer, because Vaharaya, Reish Lakish is telling us that you can pick it up for the sake of Kavod HaBrios, whereas the Rambam is arguing and saying that no, really it means Chayav Deraisa, there's an Isha Deraisa to pick up this Atzitz Nakov and put it onto pegs. It's a full-fledged act of Kotzer. And don't ask me Kasha from Reish Lakish, we don't paskin like the din of Reish Lakish. Fine. Yeah, Elliot.
So, by Pei Aleph Amud Beis, it's where it says if you take the pot with the holes in it and then you put it on a peg.
Yeah.
It says you would be chayav because of an act of
Nateah. Oh, it says Tolish.
Tolish. But I'm saying...
When you put it on the ground?
No, when you put it back on the ground...
So, okay, so we don't need that part right now, for now. The ground part's a separate issue. It's a good question, but it's a separate issue, so I don't want to get too thrown off.
Okay.
Okay, so what's the question now? What are you? Good, so you're getting 2 weeks in, end of the second week here. Rav Mordechai Berg used to say that you graduate your partner's this year when you ask 100% of the questions and you get 50% of the answers. You have to learn how to ask all the questions, what's the machlokas, understand what's a question, what's not a question, and you're supposed to be mechamen to 50% of this year. The point of Morning Seder is not just to read a mar makom mitzvos, to follow the lecture. The goal of Morning Seder is to be mechamen to the year, to learn how to think. But we're not robots. A person has his own individual, and he should have his own individuality. So 50% of the answers you should be mechamen to, 50% you have the right to say your own Torah. So good. Smiles, you're going to graduate soon. Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. We'll have to talk about that. Okay. So what's the Hesber in this Machlokas? So in order to analyze this Machlokas, we now need to get into an analysis of the our Atzitz Nakov. As he pointed out, so when we have this Atzitz Nakov that's resting on the ground, this perforated flower pot is resting on the ground, legally speaking, it's treated as if it's connected to the ground. That is the given going into the sugya, that when you have a flower pot resting on the ground, it's considered to be as if it's connected to the ground. Now, what we have to ask ourselves now is, what establishes that connection? What aspect of this situation deems the Atzitz Nakov attached to the ground? Because if we can figure out what makes the attachment, then we can analyze whether putting onto pegs severs that attachment. If putting onto pegs severs that attachment, then that'll be kotzer. You've disconnected it from the ground. If putting it onto pegs does not sever that attachment, then it's not going to be kotzer, and if anything, there'll be an issur derabanan. So what we need to analyze now is what connects, what establishes the connection between the Atzitz Nakov and the ground. So what we now need is a chakira. We need to develop two approaches, two modes of analysis for how to understand what establishes the connection. And depending on what establishes the connection, we'll ultimately have to be mazbe this machlokas. So let's see if the chevra can figure this one out. This is pretty straightforward. What establishes the connection between the Atzitz Nakov and the ground? So just to add an incentive for the sake of Miles and Hananya, they're very big into teamwork with these icebreakers during shir, during the lunch slot. So, but yesterday, I think guys got a little scared with the whole vote off idea. So whoever could be mechavim to this chakir is going to have an immunity at the next voting session.
You could probably try to say that the chakir is like, when we say that there's a connection, does it mean like that it's like the proximity to the ground, the fact that like it's resting on
good.
The ground, is connected, or is that it just deriving nourishment?
Excellent. That's
the
exactly the chakir. Good. So this is, we're doing the max is saved in the next one, next round. So you don't have to figure out any Pokemon cards or dinosaurs. I don't mean to chas shalom say it's nourishkeit. That's not my point. I'm just giving it immunity. So I think teamwork is very beautiful. Fine. Good. So the, Max is mechayv, and this is the analysis of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik in that piece of the Grach HaLashatz, and Dibros Moshe's on Gittin, Rav Moshe Feinstein also gives the same Chakira. So the Chakira goes like this. What establishes the connection between the Atzitznakov and the ground? What aspect of the situation establishes the connection? So, possibility number one is to say that maybe the connection is a function of the yonika, the fact that the content in the pot is yonic from the ground, derives nourishment from the ground. Maybe that is what establishes the chibur in this situation. That is possibility number one. And Rav Moshe is medayik in the Dibros Moshe, the Rashi on Sadihei Amud Aleph is working with his first tzad in the Chakira. On Sadihei Amud Aleph, Rashi there is spelling out explicitly why is an atzit snakov resting on the ground considered to be attached to the ground. So some people made this big in morning seder. Rashi says explicitly because it's yonic from the ground. Since it derives nourishment from the ground, that is why it's considered to be attached to the ground. So that is possibility number one. Yeah, Hanani, you have a question?
Would this chakira also be...
Well, so let me finish the chakira before we ask on it. That's fair. Moving over to the second side in the chakira. So the second possibility is to say that maybe the connection is not a function of the yanika. That's not why the atzit snakov is considered to be attached to the ground. Maybe it's a function of, Max used the word proximity, you can call it physical continuity. The fact that there's a physical continuity between the atzit snakov and the ground, that itself establishes the connection. We basically have dirt on top of dirt. It's resting on the ground. It's a perforated flower pot, so there's no real hefsik in between. And I have dirt inside the flower pot, so I have dirt on top of dirt. That's what creates the connection, the physical continuity. Nothing to do with yanika. That itself establishes the connection. So we now have a basic chakira. What is establishing the connection for the atzit snakov? Is it a function of the yanika, which Rashi spells out explicitly, or is it a function of the physical continuity? Hanani, now you have a question still?
Yeah, would this chakira apply to the Rambam?
So let's plug it in. We're going to plug it in right now, 100%. Which Rambam?
The Rambam says in Hilchos Shabbos that the kol zereshik tirasso, you would be chayim shum two things. You would be chayim shum
Netayan
and
Kotzer. Yeah.
So you would see that there's both stodim within that.
Okay, so you're saying good. On Monday, Mr. Shem, we're going to do an analysis of that halacha. So let's keep it on the back burner, and Mr. Shem, bring it up on Monday. Okay, yeah.
Is it Rashi be holding up the fact that it gets nourishment? Because he dafkas stated earlier that it's...
So let me just plug it in, then. Are you trying to mechaber, or are you asking?
No, because
let me plug it in, then we'll do the questions. So just to plug it in. So working the first tzad in the chakira, if we say what establishes the connection between the atzis nakov and the ground is the yaniko, the fact that it's deriving nourishment from the ground. So what should we say when I put it onto pegs? When I put it onto pegs, am I breaking the yaniko? Am I not breaking the yaniko?
So it's not completely going away.
Exactly, 100%. So I forgot to put this on the Mar Makomos. There's Agos Ashri in Ches Beis, who spells out explicitly that the yaniko gets lessened, but you're not severing the yaniko. That even when it's on pegs, this atzit snakov, this perforated pot, is able to somehow derive nourishment from the ground. I think Rabbi Ribiat in his Sefer, to explain this, he has a picture of a flower pot on pegs, and he has arrows going up. So the arrows connote the fact that there's yanika taking place, but we don't have a projector right now, so let's just envision the arrows going up. There's some kind of mist, there's some kind of ability for this flower pot to get nourishment from the ground. Hagos Rashi spells this explicitly out. And so therefore, the Hagos Rashi spells out, that's exactly why there's no Isser Deraisa. He's working with Rashi and Tosos. He says that the reason there's no Isser Deraisa is because there's still yanika taking place, and therefore you've not been Oker Davar Migidulo. At best, there's just an Isser Derabanan. It looks like Kotzer, so we Asser Mid Derabanan, but it's not Kotzer conceptually. Moving over to the second side of the Chakira, if the connection is a function of the physical continuity, the fact that it's just placed resting on top of the ground, dirt on top of dirt, so then if you pick the Atzis Nakov, you put it onto the pegs, you've severed the continuity, and now that will be a full-fledged act of Oker Davar Migidulo. So that would be the Hezer behind the sheet of the Rambam. Rambam will be saying that since it's about the physical continuity, once it's put onto the pegs, it's going to be a full-fledged act of Kotzer. And just to reemphasize, in Rashi, so Rashi comes out to be Lashitaso, that Rashi who's saying that there's no Kotzer Midaraiso will be Lashitaso. Rashi in Sarihei is spelling out that what establishes the connection is the yanika. Lashitaso, Rashi therefore concluded, putting onto pegs is not going to be Aser Midaraiso. So that's all our starting point here, in analyzing Gemara and Pei Aleph and Beis, we have this machlokas, Rashi and Tosas versus the Rambam. How do you understand the din of Abaye? Is there an Isser Deraisa or the Rabbanan for picking up the Atzis Nakav onto pegs? Is coming down to this Chakira now as to what establishes the connection of the Atzis Nakav and the ground. If it's a function of the Yiniko, you've not fully severed that connection, which is the Shita of Rashi and Tosas. Therefore, it's only Asr Mid the Rabbanan. If it's a function of the physical continuity, then as soon as you put it onto the pegs, you've severed that attachment. That would be a full-fledged act of Kotzer. Okay, you want to ask now?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, fine. Okay. Now, yeah, Miles. Okay. So, we started out by pointing out that the definition of Kotzer is to disconnect something from the source of growth, and we raised the question, what establishes a connection? So, what we're really getting at is that this Machlokas Rashi and Tosas versus the Rambam is really uncovering that issue of what establishes a connection. Why is it that a wheat stalk in the ground is called connected to the ground? The Atzis Nakav is just the Hechi Temsa to develop this. It's really a broad Chakira. What establishes a connection in Yin Kotzer? According to Rashi and Tosas, the connection is a function of Yanika. The reason a wheat stalk is called attached to the ground is because it's Yonik from the ground. According to the Rambam, the reason a wheat stalk is called attached to the ground is because it's physically attached to the ground. Nothing to do with the Yanika. So we're pointing out now, I'm just extracting, that this Machlokas Rashi and Tosas is not just a Chakira in Atzis Nakav, it's really a Chakira in Malachas Kotzer. What establishes a connection? Yesh Lachko, Rashi and Tosas hold it's the Yanika. Rambam is holding that it's about the physical continuity. So now, let's discuss two Nafkaminas in this Machlokas. Nafkamina number one. The first Nafkamina is the Gemara in Chulin on Kuf Chav Zayin Amabez. The Gemara there brings Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Yom Shmuel, who says that let's say you have figs that are on a tree and they wither. The Te'enim Shetzamku Be'ivehem. You have figs that wither on their branches. Says Shmuel, Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Yom Shmuel, this is going to be Chayev for Kotzer. There's an Isser Derais in this situation for detaching these figs from the tree, despite the fact that they withered, but nonetheless, you were chayev midoraisa. Now, we have a machlokas Rishonim, though, how to understand what's the extent of this halacha. When we're having a new halacha now that if fruits wither on their tree, you're still chayev for kotzer, how far does this halacha go? So there's a machlokas, Rashi and Tosas versus the Rambam on this issue. How do we understand the extent of the din of Shmuel? Starting with the Shita of Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi and Tosfos there, well, Rashi is there on Kuf Chav Zayin and Beis, Tosfos on in Chulin, Tosfos on Kuf Nun and Beis in Shabbos. They both spell out that the case is specifically where the figs withered, but the stem is still fresh. The case has to be where the stem is still fresh, just the figs wither. But if the entire fruit dries up the figs and the stem, then you're talking not over kotzer in this situation. There's only kotzer if the stem is fresh. The whole thing dries up, and you pull it off, that would not be a violation of Melechetz Kotzer. That's the Shita of Rashi and Tosfos. And Tosfos points out that it's Mashma from the Gemara. Because why does Shmuel say, Shetzamku, that it withered? Why do you describe the case as figs that wither on the branches? Why not say Yavshu, say that the figs dried up? Says Tosfos, because Yavshu would connote that the whole fig dried up with the stem. So Shmuel specifically said Samku to convey the fact that the fig withered, but the stem is still fresh. So that's Tosfos' diuk to the Shita, that if it fully dries up, your taka not going to be chayiv for kotzer in this situation. Moving over to the Shita of the Rambam. So the Rambam argues on Rashi and Tosfos. The Rambam, as understood by the Magen Avraham and the Chayei Adam, they learn the Rambam and Ches Dalet as arguing on Rashi and Tosfos. And the diuk is quite simply, when the Rambam brings down this halacha in Chulin, so the Rambam says, Teinim she yavshu bi'iveyim. He changes the word samku to yavshu. The Rambam says that when figs dry out on the tree, there's still kotzer for detaching it. And the Rambam makes no qualifications. He doesn't tell us that it depends on the stem, if this stem is fresh, if this stem isn't fresh. He just says, unqualified, when figs dry up on a tree, you're chayiv for kotzer. It's mashma kipshuto, that the figs fully dried up, and you're still chayiv for kotzer. So we now have a machlokas Rishonim, Rashi and Tosas versus the Rambam, as to whether, how far does Shmuel's din go? When Shmuel says that you're chayiv for kotzer on figs that withered, so how far does this halacha go? Rashi and Tosas say only if it didn't fully dry out, but if it fully dried out with the stem, you're not going to be chayiv. Rambam says that even if it fully dries out, you are going to be chayiv. So the question becomes, what's the hesber in this machlokas? I don't want to just plug it in. It's pretty obvious the way we set it up. I don't want to plug this into our hesber, yeah.
There's a
nutrients from the tree, or does it just have to actually physically be
right
attached to the tree?
Right. So to plug in the hakira, it's going to be a beautiful lishitasa. We have machlokas Rashi and Tosas versus the Rambam. What establishes a connection, litany and kotzer? Rashi and Tosas say it's a function of yinika. Rambam says it's a function of the physical attachments. Let's go through the two shitas and show how they play out in this situation.
All right, so according to Rashi...
Well, let me just plug it in.
I'll go for it.
Yeah,
so
you're going to get a second immunity here.
That's about the anika. So as long as it's still being yonic somewhat, even from the stems, then if you detach that, then that's going
to
be
excellent. According to the Rambam.
But according to the Rambam, that is just the physical continuity. So then it doesn't matter if it's the Rambam.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter how dry
excellent.
It is.
Excellent. I'm sorry, but Max,
now, so.
What? You can pass it on to BZ. You could share immunities. Okay, good. Fine. So it goes like this. Excellent, beautiful. So starting with the sheet of Rashi and Tosfos, if we say that what establishes the connection is the yanika, the fact that it's deriving nourishment from the source of growth, that's what establishes the connection. So then that's all fine and well when there's a yanika taking place. But if there's no yanika at all, even though physically it's attached, al pi din, it's called disconnected. So if I have a fig that's on a tree and it starts to wither, as long as the stem is fresh, so there's some type of yanika taking place, then al pi din, the fig is called attached to the tree. If I pull it off, I'm doing an act of kotzer. But if the stem fully dries up, if the whole fig dries up, such that it's not getting any yanika from the tree, even before I cut it off, it's already called disconnected. Al pi din, even though physically it's attached, since there's no yanika, it's called disconnected. When I pull it off, I'm not disconnecting. It's not going to be subject to melachas kotzer. So Rashi and Tosas Lishitaso, since they hold that the connection is a function of the yanika, they had to make a new kimta in the Gemara of Shmuel that he's not talking about a case where it fully dried up with the stem, because if it did, you would not be over kotzer because there's no yanika taking place. However, moving over to the second sheet, the Shitas HaRambam, if the connection is a function of the physical continuity and we don't care about the yanika, well, when I have figs or any fruit on a tree, even if it fully dries up, even if there's no yanika taking place, since it's physically attached, that's still called connected al pi din. When I remove it from the tree, I'm disconnecting it. That would be a violation of melachat kotzer. So the Rambam is lishitaso, that since the connection is a function of the physical attachment, physical continuity, therefore there still is kotzer with a fruit that fully dried up. And there's no shaila Eli also gets the immunity, just clarifying that. He got the original kivun there. Fine, so that's all nafkamina number one. Any questions? We good? Okay. Let's move over to nafkamina number two, and with this we will end. Nafkamina number two is as follows. Someone once asked Rav Pesach Frank the following shaila. It's in the back of the heart's feet. He wants to know, let's say you have a plant that's growing in the ground, and a person takes a cup of boiling hot water, and he pours it on the plant, thereby killing the plant. So he didn't cut the plant from the ground. He takes poison, he takes a boiling cup hot water, and he pours it onto the plant, thereby killing the plant. He wants to know, will you violate melachas kotzer in that situation? Does anyone want to give us an analysis of the shaila of that was posed to Tzvi Pesach Frank? What's the analysis of the Tzadim in the shaila? Yeah.
According to Rashi, you'd be cutting off the nourishment because you're killing it, even though you haven't really separated it.
Good.
Versus Rambam, which you would not be.
Good, excellent, good. Good. So Yosef just gave the analysis of this Shaila proposed to the Har Tzvi, and a simple bim kohen in a footnote in the Shabbos home, thanks to the 50 Cent program, also gives the same analysis. So it goes like this. Starting with the first side in our Chakir, Rashi and Tosfos. So once again, what establishes connection in Melachas Kotzer? It's a function of the yanika. The reason that a wheat stalk, the reason a plant in the ground is called connected to the ground is because it's yonic from the ground. Since it derives its sustenance from the ground, that is why it's connected to the ground. If that's what establishes the connection, if I take poison or a boiling cup of water and I pour it onto the plant and kill it, although physically I haven't severed it and breaking it apart from the ground, as soon as I kill it, it's no longer being yonic from the ground. So 5 seconds ago when it was alive, it was connected to the ground because it was yonic from the ground. When I kill it, it's not being yonic from the ground, which means al pi din, I've disconnected it from the ground. Although physically it's still attached to the ground, but if the yanika is what establishes the connection, as soon as I pour poison on it and I kill it, it's no longer called connected. I did an act of disconnecting. Al pi din, I disconnected it from the ground. I'd be chayiv for melachas kotzer. So according to Rashi and Tosas, if you poison a plant, That would violate Malachas Kotzer. On the other hand, moving over to the Shita of the Rambam, Rambam's Shita is that what establishes the connection in Hilchas Kotzer is the physical attachment. The physical continuity is what establishes the connection. Why is a wheat stalk called connected to the ground? Because it's physically attached to the ground. It's embedded in the ground. That's why it's attached to the ground. So if I walk over to a plant and I poison the plant and I kill it, even though it's now a dead plant, even though it's now not yonic from the ground, since it's still physically attached to the ground, it would still be called connected to the ground. So I have not disconnected the plant from the ground. I would not violate Malachas Kotzer. So that is our second nafkamina now in this machlokas, whether you're poisoning a plant would violate Malachas Kotzer. So with that, we concluded today's shir. So just to quickly summarize, in part one, we developed the basic definition of Kotzer. Oker davar migidulo means to disconnect something from its source of growth. We were medayik that from the fact that all we show them keep using the terms mechuber and talish. It's about breaking off, disconnecting something that was mechuber. And we give a halachic nafkamina is milking a cow. Rashi says that it's not called Malachas Kotzer, despite the fact that you're removing it from its place of development. That's not called Kotzer because it's not disconnecting the milk from the source of growth. And we're trying to ask the question, what establishes the connection? That was part two of today's shir. What establishes the connection leaning Kotzer? So we had a machlokas, Rashi toasted versus the Rambam with the Otzis Nokov, when I put it onto pegs, does that violate Kotzer Midaraisa? Rashi and Tosas say that it does not. Rambam says that it does. And it came down to a Chakira, what establishes this connection leaning Kotzer? If the connection is a function of the Yanika, well, even on pegs, apparently, it's still yonic from the ground. Whereas if the connection is a function of the physical continuity, once I lift it off the ground, I've severed the continuity, it's now going to, that will be a full-fledged act of Malachas Kotzer. And then two nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one is, what if you have a pre that's on a tree that fully dried up? It's not being yonic from the tree. Would I be over Kotzer for detaching that from the tree? If it's about the yanika, then it's already called disconnected. Although it's physically attached to the tree, alpidin, it's already disconnected. So when I pull it off, I'm not doing Kotzer. If it's about the physical continuity, the physical attachment, then it is still called connected. And when I pull it off, I would be violating Malachas Kotzer. Second nafkamina is, what if I poison a plant? So I don't cut it, but I poison the plant. If it's about the yanika, then when I poison the plant, I'm stopping it from being yonic from the ground. I've essentially disconnected it from the ground. But if the connection is a function of the physical attachment, even when I poison it, it's still physically embedded in the ground. And so that would not constitute an act of kotzer. So, shkayach on another week of the LCM summer kolal, and have a wonderful day. Shkayach. Really?